Well, good morning, everybody.
Here we go.
We are here on this fourth Tuesday. So excited to be here on FYI. We are Plant-Based OKC. If you've not been with us before,
welcome
to our show. Yes, please join us every fourth Tuesday of the month. And I am Andrea Conway, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jimmy Conway.
Hello, everyone.
And our good friend, Randy Titone.
And let me just tell y'all, it's a good thing this is just radio, because if this was TV, people couldn't stand it. I mean, you guys today, y'all look like a couple of models.
We're bringing it.
Yeah. You guys are bringing it strong. You look like a couple of models.
We just want to keep the message in the forefront here, so we're just on the radio.
I mean, you know, I understand some people can't handle it all up front.
Well, if you don't know us, we are Plant-Based OKC, and what we do is talk about the benefits of eating a whole food, plant-based diet and why that can reverse and prevent the major chronic diseases we are dealing with in today's society, like heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, cancer, and the like. We hold monthly seminars that go over the science behind a whole food plant-based diet and how it does these miraculous things. And these seminars are held once a month. They're free of charge. And these are at Community Hospital, which is not Southwest Integris Hospital. It's Community Hospital at 3100 Southwest 89th. And these are on Saturdays at noon once a month. You can get the date for these seminars on our website at plantbasedokc.com under wellness events. You'll see that, and you'll need to RSVP if you're interested in attending, because our room size is limited. And we have actually just been packed full. I mean, we don't charge, so I can't say really sold out, but we have enough RSVPs that we are actually booked for our seminar in August. I've already put a date for September on the website and now taking reservations for the September date.
That's what happens when you bring the thunder.
That's right.
You know?
We are popular, right? I think it's a message that people are wanting to take control of their health. I mean, people are, when I talk to people, they're like, I do not want to go on medication. And I don't know why that seems to be a really popular theme I'm hearing right now. I mean, really a lot of people are saying, what can I do because I don't want to go on this or that medication? So that's exciting, actually, that people want to take control of their health.
People have experienced the healthful benefits of plant-based eating that the public is now aware that that is an option. Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, nobody really had heard.
Well, we started our journey, as we've said before, and you can read about more about our journey on our website. But, you know, it's been 8 years now for us, and I think, 5 years for you, Randy?
Yes, ma'am.
And so we certainly, and that's why we started this, because of how great we feel and what we know is happening to our bodies. And as we're getting older, we feel like we're getting younger.
There's no question.
Y'all look younger. You know, one of the things I think that is really bringing people around is, you know, when your friend posts something on Facebook about a new diet, it dwindles off after 3 months or something. Mm-hmm. Or a new supplement. Hey, I'm selling this shake or I'm selling this potion, and it dwindles off. And after people have heard our message and heard us preaching the plant-based gospel, they know that we're not trying to sell them a supplement. They're like, you know, there really must be something to this. Why do they keep saying how better they feel?
And you hit it right when you said it dies off, because it's funny how you'll see somebody promoting, oh, I just started on such and such, you know, shakes.
Right.
You know, and you'll hear about it, and, oh, I've lost 5 pounds. Now I've lost 10 pounds. I've lost 20 pounds. And then all of a sudden, it goes silent, and you don't hear anything else.
Right.
And it's because it's not sustainable.
Sure.
You cannot live that way for the rest of your life,
right,
and you won't. And so they do that, and they lose the 10, 15, 20 pounds. Then they go back to their normal eating habits. I mean, I'm a prime example. I tell people all the time, I've dealt with weight issues my whole life. I was a lifetime member of Weight Watchers, and I was really good at losing, you know, being on plan,
yep,
following the guidelines, losing the weight. And then when I got to my desired weight or my goal weight, I went back to my old eating habits every single time.
Of course.
And it's frustrating. I mean, nobody wants to do that. And I wouldn't say the full 8 years. It took me a while to really grasp what we were doing and how to find how eating this way really worked, because, you know, it's not just like a light bulb that goes off and you start this process from perfection day one. It took a while to get there. But I would say for at least the last 5 years of the eight that we've been doing this, I have gotten to my goal weight and I've stayed there, and I don't count calories. I don't count points. I don't say, oh, I have this many carbs or this many grams of protein or this, that, or the other. I just eat my food and I feel great. And
you don't worry about your protein?
And I think that's what makes this so sustainable, you know? And that's what I think is important for people, and what I try to do when I'm working with someone one-on-one is, in coaching them, is to make it as simple as possible. Quit trying to overthink. Again, well, am I getting enough protein? I'm eating too many carbs. I'm getting too many calories. You know, let's just focus on what foods are we talking about. And so I want to kind of get into that today, because we are talking about whole plant foods. Well, one of the plant foods that we eat can seem to cause a lot of controversy, it seems. And even people that want to eat this way, they'll eat this way, but they want to stay away from this food. And the food I'm talking about is soy.
Oh, no. Eat soy?
No, you
can't
eat soy.
Oh, you can't eat that.
No. We eat soy. So I want to talk about this.
You've been feeding your soy?
I have.
Oh, no.
And I wouldn't say, you know, that soy is just like this. It's not the basis of every meal I eat. I mean, yes, it is a good, it's a good food and we don't avoid it. But like any food, we have a very well-rounded diet of a variety of foods. But it does also contain soy. And one of the things, you know, because we don't drink dairy milk, we drink a non-dairy milk, which there are many of them out there, but soy is one of them. There's soy milk and almond milk and hemp and flax and rice and oat. I mean, you name it, they have every non-dairy milk out there. But the one I have found that I think tastes the best, has the best consistency, works best for me in cooking, works best in my coffee, all those things, is soy milk. And the reason I like this particular soy milk we buy is because the only ingredient in this milk is soybeans and water. And so many, unfortunately, of the non-dairy milks out there contain oils, they contain sugars, and all kinds of thickeners and additives and stuff that I just don't want. And I really like this. And so whenever I tell people that, they go, I don't know if I want that. Is there another option I can find? And so so I want to take a little bit of time to kind of break down the myths of soy. And I know this won't be the end of the conversation for many people, but I do want to break down what is being said, why people are wanting to stay away from soy, and what is the real truth behind that. And
well, the real truth about soy is, in the United States, the vast majority of soy is consumed by confined animal feeding enterprises.
Yeah, that's what I kind of find kind of a little bit ironic or funny about people who maybe don't even eat plant-based. They eat the standard American diet, and they want to kind of chastise me for eating soy or soy products, but yet the more than likely the beef or the pork or whatever it is they're consuming has been fed soy.
Right, and GMO soy.
And GMO soy at that. And I will say, when we do consume soy, the soy we prefer to consume is organic, non-GMO soy. Because and that goes for soy and corn, because so much of the corn and soy produced in the United States now And why, just for real quick, like why, talk a little bit just for a second about the GMO piece of it. And
well, there are two issues, I think, main issues with GMOs. One is the genetic modification that the corn and the soy has been modified genetically by taking some genes and essentially splicing them into the soy or the corn, that makes the plant not react to
resistant to pesticides.
And so when it's a GMO product, then it's going to have a lot more exposure to pesticides.
Like Roundup and...
Right. And some of these pesticides, the levels in the foods in the United States of these pesticides are on the order of 10 to 100 times higher than what is recommended.
Wow.
And so that's one issue. The exposure to pesticides that you get with GMO foods. The other is the process of modifying that plant to be resistant. Does that do any ill effects? And there's some evidence to suggest that, yes, that does some significant, does cause some significant problems if you consume these products long term. And not to mention the fact that you've genetically modified this, nature has a way. So what happens, these weeds that these pesticides are used for, then the weeds become resistant to the Roundup or whatever. And so now we have these super weeds, and so it's taken tons
the bugs
more.
Becoming resistant to it.
The
as
bugs
well?
Will become resistant to it, and you know nature changes.
Right.
Nature finds a way.
So then we just get stronger and.
So I think people really ought to go back to that movie Jurassic Park and what they said about nature finds a way, and it does.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we do, when we are talking about consuming soy and corn, we are talking about organic, non-GMO in that instance. Okay, but let's just, so when we actually posted this on our Facebook page yesterday about a oncologist who was talking about the benefits of soy, and someone in the comments on our page posted an article kind of discounting that and talking about all the things that were wrong with soy. So I thought, well, that's a good place to start, and let's kind of break that down a little bit. You know, in the first point that he actually makes is actually a good point, and that's that a majority of the soy in the United States is not consumed whole, which is kind of what we advocate. It is processed into soybean oil, which we do not advocate consuming. And then the byproduct of making soybean oil is then fed to animal agriculture.
Right.
So really the people that are consuming animal agriculture are probably consuming more of the soy than we are.
Well, I would say by far.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. So that's one argument that would actually make you want to eat the whole soy versus animal protein. But then the next argument was that he says whole soybeans are rich in nutrients, but they also contain phytates, which block absorption of minerals. Soybeans are very rich in omega-6 fatty acids, which can cause problems. So let's talk about that statement.
Well, taken for the way it's written, he is correct. Soy does
contain
phytates. It does have a higher proportion of omega-6 fatty acids, but where we consume our most soy in the United States is actually soybean oil.
Which is contains probably 100 times the omega-6.
Right. And that's why there's a difference between eating the whole food versus a processed version of it. So if you eat a soybean, as in like edamame, yes, it does have phytic acid. Literally, the word phytic means plant. phytic acid is in just about every plant there is.
Which is what I find so funny, because it is in all legumes, right?
Correct.
And it is in nuts.
Correct.
Is it in whole grains?
It is.
And so here, you know, there's all these other foods that contain phytates, but people seem to zero in on certain foods.
Well, this is a classic argument of why people want good news about the bad way they eat, and they don't want to hear news about how bad the standard American diet is.
Right.
And phytic acid is one of these nutrients that has been chosen to be a problem child by people who promote eating animal-based food. Phytic acid actually is very beneficial for our body. There's evidence that it blocks cancer production. It does decrease the absorption of minerals. And so, yeah, there are a bunch of minerals in soy that we need. There are a bunch of minerals in the other foods that we consume that we need. But there are also some foods that specifically enhance mineral absorption. And so with most of our legumes, we personally always eat onion with it.
Cooking a pot of beans. Right. Most people aren't going to cook a pot of beans without onion or eat beans without onion.
Well, heavens no.
Or garlic or something.
Liquid smoke?
Yes.
That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
But the allium vegetables, so onion and garlic, leeks, shallots, these vegetables all enhance mineral absorption. So if you cook a pot of beans, you got a pot of beans sitting there with a lot of phytic acid in the legumes. So let's say pinto beans, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We always eat that with garlic and onion, which enhances the absorption of the minerals, and it blocks the, if you want to say it, a bad effect of the phytic acid.
But is it really bad? It just means that you're not absorbing as much.
It's not bad, but people want to concentrate on the fact that it blocks mineral absorption.
Well, I want to go back. So whenever I have a question from someone like this raised, I usually always point them back to a website called nutritionfacts.org. Dr. Michael Greger runs this site. He is not bought by any side, whether it be, I don't think there is a Whole Food lobby, but any kind of lobby.
I need to be their lobbyist.
You do, Randy. You're kind of the evangelist anyway.
I could walk around passing out kale salad.
You know, yes. Gospel means good news.
That's exactly right.
And so there's
a
lot of good news in the plants.
Plant-based gospel. So I point people back to nutritionfacts.org. It's a free website. He researches the science regarding nutrition and gives you the facts. And so I point people in that direction all the time. He's got multiple videos on soy. But I looked also one up on phytate. And I just, he's so funny. We've met him several times. He's got a very dry sense of humor. And so
yes.
I love his videos and his way of pointing things out. But I want to kind of point something out, because this is so typical of our thinking today. So he says that there's actually a legal definition for something called good source. If you claim that something is a good source of a nutrient of some sort, that the legal definition means it has to have at least 10% of the daily value of that particular nutrient.
10%?
10% is all it has. It says nothing about the excellence of the food choice itself. All that says, so for example, you could throw a multivitamin into a scoop of sewer sludge and legally call it a good source of a half a dozen things, because whatever's in that vitamin that provides 10% of that nutrient.
I'm thinking I could have a couple of drops of gasoline.
And you could put a vitamin in it and call it a good source.
That's so, like all natural.
So first of all, that goes to show you why you cannot go by the label by the front of a food product that says a good source of blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then he goes on to say, it comes back to the food as a package deal. It is impossible to get the calcium in dairy, for example, without also getting all the hormones, or the iron in beef without the saturated fat. So these aren't necessarily, quote, good sources of nutrients after all, because we can't get one without the other unless you go to a non-animal source. We don't have to worry about the saturated animal fat, the cholesterol, and the rest. And there's a bonus that comes when we get, for example, our iron and zinc from whole grain, greens, beans, nuts, seed. We get the fiber, the folate, the phytonutrients, and it's a package deal in a good way. So so even with soy, you're getting so many other good things in that you may not necessarily, if you only ate the soy, and he says if you don't want to add the allium vegetables to enhance it, just eat a serving and a half.
So you have more minerals.
So you actually get more of the minerals.
It may block the absorption of the minerals by, 20%, but
But the people that argue not to eat the soy because of phytates don't talk about the package deal you get with the other foods that they're eating.
That's correct. And the other thing he didn't mention in terms of package deal. So with the animal food, the pork, the beef, any contaminant that has been in the feed that animal has eaten.
Sure.
Or comes in contact with through their environment.
Right.
Is stored in the fat in that animal. And your contact with these harmful chemicals is significantly enhanced with beef, pork, and dairy because of the fact that you can't not eat the whole package.
Right. Right.
So, if you took out, let's say you took out the protein from animal flesh, it'd just be a glob of goo.
Yeah, you're eating the whole thing. So
you eat the whole thing, so you get everything with that. And there's a lot of bad things with animals that you get when you eat the whole package.
Yeah,
especially. I just like to keep things so simple. Whenever anybody says, you shouldn't eat soy, you shouldn't eat soy, I say, really? Last time I checked, 1/5 of the world's population lives in China, okay? Those people eat soy every day. They're not overweight, and the breast cancer in China is extremely low.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to modify that statement because we've exported our diet
so much of
China.
Our diet that they are,
The Chinese government did come out and say they want to cut meat consumption by 50%.
Yeah,
I wish they'd say that here in the United States.
No, they're not going to say that.
No, because our politicians are bought.
Right, that's exactly right.
Well, let's. I want to get back to this article with the arguments against consuming soy. And the next line item or argument he gives here is the
isoflavones
found in soy can activate and or inhibit estrogen receptors in the body, which can disrupt the body's normal function. So what does that even mean?
I don't know. Music does that.
You think that inhibits your receptors?
I think it probably does if you play it loud enough.
Inhibit your hearing.
Yeah.
So, I think one of the initial arguments against soy because of the phytoestrogen, it's ginseng. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but that is the phytoestrogen in soy. The human body has actually two types of estrogen receptors. There's alpha and beta. Some of the initial research was done on rats, and evidently rats either do not have beta estrogen receptors or their beta estrogen receptors react differently than humans. Because in certain tissues, the beta estrogen receptor acts as an anti-estrogen. But in certain other tissues in the human body, the beta estrogen receptor acts with estrogen-like activity. So let's take the tissues that have the anti-estrogen activity.
Okay.
It appears that in the breast and in the ovary and possibly even the uterus, the beta estrogen receptors have anti-estrogen activity. So a woman who eats soy, the more she consumes, the lower her risk of breast cancer because of the the phytoestrogen in soy attaching to the beta receptor, which has anti-estrogen activity.
And you don't want a lot of estrogen production when you've had breast or ovarian cancer.
Well, you really don't want a lot of estrogen production anyway. Once you reach,
what does that do?
Well, it causes certain tissues to keep growing. One is breast tissue. And, you know, if it promotes growth, it promotes growth of good and bad things. And so it will promote the growth of bad cells.
So naturally, our body has in those areas anti-estrogen receptors to keep it probably low.
Correct. I'm not real sure we know the exact reason why we have it. We just know that we do have it, and that the beta estrogen receptors in the breast are health promoting if those are stimulated. The beta estrogen receptors in the bone appear to have estrogen like activity because it increases bone mass, and so normally as we age we lose bone mass. We create bone mass up into the age of about 30 and then we slowly lose it. And so if you can reduce the loss or even add to the bone mass, then that's beneficial. That will prevent hip fractures, vertebral spine fractures. It helps prevent distal radius fractures that occur when people fall. And hip fractures, even today, you know, if you take a person that's had a hip fracture, their risk of dying if you follow them for 12 months after that hip fracture is very significant, close to 50%. It used to be a 30-day mortality risk. Mm-hmm. Now we've drawn that out to a year, but that is a significant event in a person's life. And if you can prevent that, then you can prevent a lot of damage.
Well, can't you just prevent that by drinking lots of dairy and getting your calcium?
If it were only that simple.
Buttermilk.
Yeah. Actually, dairy consumption is associated with osteoporosis, the condition where the bones get weak. The higher the dairy consumption, the higher the rate of osteoporosis. And osteoporosis is not a calcium deficiency disease. It is a disease that's brought on by the standard American diet being way too acidic. And your body balances that acid by sucking calcium and phosphorus. And so it balances that acid, and you literally will pee your bones away if you eat a high animal flesh
that's
diet.
That's why we have such a high rate of
We average fractures. About 100 hip fractures per 100,000 people in the United States. There's some Asian countries that have half our calcium intake and a third of our hip fracture rate. As Randy mentioned earlier, the Asian countries consume a lot more soy than we do. So that's health promoting.
And a lot of them smoke, too.
They do.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so
Which also promotes osteoporosis.
Which I say, you know, those people are healthy in spite of smoking, not because they smoke.
Are you sure?
I believe they are. We just got done eating some of our soy chicken nuggets.
No, we did not. Okay, so we were talking about soy having these anti-estrogen receptors and how that can be good. And what I wanted to talk, isn't there a drug that the drug companies came out with that has that effect? That's an anti-estrogen activate? I don't know how you'd say that.
Well, there are several. One is tamoxifen.
And it has anti-estrogen effects.
It blocks the effects of estrogen.
So if doctors or people take tamoxifen or are recommending tamoxifen, why are they discounting soy?
Because they're not educated in the effects of soy. Most physicians don't get the information.
But it must be the opposite information, because it's not that they say don't even know about soy doing that. It's the opposite. They say that it...
You're referring to certain oncologists that say don't eat soy after breast cancer?
Yes.
Well, I think it goes back to the fact that the initial research was done in rats, and in rats, feeding rats soy promotes the growth of cancer. In humans, it does not. And part of it is either the rat has a beta estrogen receptor that has estrogen-like activities, or it doesn't have beta receptors. So then the soy just attaches to the alpha, which promote estrogen effects. But in humans, the women who have had breast cancer, whether it be estrogen receptor positive or negative, women who consume the most soy have the lowest risk of recurrence.
Wow.
And so,
you know, it just goes back for me to this whole, it's frustrating to me how research can get to the forefront. And it just reminds me of the whole, what is it about the complete protein?
Oh, yes.
You know, and how one study came out back when, in the 60s or 70s?
I'm not sure it was a study.
Just
no,
an article?
It was a nutritionist.
Who wrote a study.
Who wrote a book. It was a textbook. And she talked about how vegetables, for the most part, don't have complete proteins. And she was very influential. And today she says that was the biggest mistake she made of her professional career, was talking about completeness of protein. Now, there's completeness and there's efficiency. Animal protein is complete protein, and it's also more efficient protein. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's good for us.
Right.
That actually means that it's bad for us. Plant proteins, for the most part, although soy protein is a complete protein. By complete, we mean it has all the amino acids that are essential, meaning they're required. Our body can't make them from other substances. There's 20 amino acids, and there's 8 to 9 essential amino acids. There's a couple that are essential under certain circumstances, and then there's also a couple of amino acids that are related to our stress response. And so the more stress we're under, the more amino acids we need of this source. They're not truly essential, but in certain circumstances, like recovering from surgery, certain amino acids are required more than they are when your body is not recovering from surgery or some type of stress.
So why is that bad, that an animal protein, it's complete and efficient, or that you get more of it?
Because of the effects that that has on the body. Being efficient is not necessarily good. And part of it has to do with the fact that the amino acids in animal-based food is very acidic.
Mm, yes.
And so even though it's efficient, that acidity creates a lot of problems.
Well, and again, you know, it just, so the plant proteins, every plant may not contain every amino acid we need, but when you eat a variety of foods, it all comes out in the wash.
And
it's
how our body stores the amino acids. So, you know, we used to think, well, you ate protein and then your body absorbed that protein, but that's not the case. You eat protein, it's broken down in your stomach to the amino acids, and then it's reconfigured however the body needs it to be reconfigured. And so we have this amino acid pool. That's why it's not even essential that we eat complete proteins every day.
Yeah, because
long as we're not eating a diet that is a plant-based diet that is deficient in some of the essential amino acids, and that's all we are ever eating. So we see that problem in third world countries, but it's malnourishment more than, and you know, we don't have significant areas of the United States where people are malnourished. We're overfed and undernourished.
Yeah,
but we're not starving to death.
And even people that, you know, are homeless and are, you know, for lack of a better word, starving, you know, typically they're not starving, but even then they don't have a problem because the food that they typically eat is a cheeseburger or
some type of fast food.
Yes.
That's going to contain a lot of fat and a lot of protein.
Right, right. So, and you know, when you touch on soy, I always, get back to the simplicity of people that eat, you know, tofu and soy edamame and those things, people typically don't have a problem. It's when you're eating.
And that's what I tried to say
nuggets.
On our page is, you know, while we do advocate that soy is a healthy product and we do consume soy milk, again, like I said, the only ingredients are soybeans and water.
Right.
We consume some tofu. We consume some tempeh, which is a fermented soybean. And we, eat whole soybeans like edamame. We do not advocate eating soybean oil or soy protein isolate, which is found a lot in these faux meat substitutes like these chicken nuggets and certain bean burgers and things where you see lots of processed ingredients like these protein isolates or even in these protein bars.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of protein bars out there that'll say they're, you know, vegan even because,
yes.
And the first ingredient is some kind of
soy protein isolate
or
textured vegetable protein,
right.
You know, or the soy powders or, you know, the protein powders used in these smoothies and stuff that people are using. So those are not the things that we're advocating eating. That's where they've broken down a food, just, you know, and taken out a portion of that and put it in something. We advocate eating whole foods. And so that is one of the things I want to focus on. So, again, with soy, somebody posted this comment, and this article that I've been referring to addresses it too, that it can cause hypothyroidism and that people with a thyroid problem should or shouldn't take soy. And what's that all about?
Well, what's required, there are certain foods that we take that can cause what's called a goiter. So that's a lump in your thyroid gland, for want of a better word. And the requirement is that you have the proper intake of iodine. And so, in the United States, we get most of our iodine from iodinized salt.
Okay.
So it is a nutrient that is added to salt. It doesn't normally naturally form in that salt.
But that's a way for us to get it to the public.
To ensure that the public gets it.
Right.
And so we don't cook with added salt.
And even when we use salt, we use sea salt.
Correct.
Which is non-iodized.
But it has a little bit of iodine in it, but not enough to basically take care of our needs. So if you eat the way we advocate, to be on the safe side, you probably should take an iodine supplement.
Which comes in a little dropper bottle in the health food store, and literally, I think like a drop every couple of days or so is.
I don't take it, but.
And I have some, and I've taken it occasionally, but. But if you are prone to goiters or prone
to hypothyroidism, you need to just ensure that you have proper iodine
in order to have that. And then I think the other question she had was, is there a better way to get soy versus like a fermented soy product versus any other type of soy? And I'm not sure that one is necessarily better.
There may be a little benefit.
So tempeh is a fermented soybean.
Correct.
And we do use that in place of, I would use it, say, in place of like ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
You can crumble it up and you can make it into tacos, make it into chili. Make it into like a
bacon
meat loaf type thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's many uses for it, and we do consume it maybe, you know, probably once a week or so.
I'm not even sure it's that common. But there's probably a little health benefit to the fermented food. Natto, which is a fermented soybean that we don't consume, because it basically tastes like, I've been told, I haven't ever tried it.
I'm scared to try it.
It supposedly tastes like rotten soybeans, and that's not high on my list.
Not mine either.
But I do take it contains the largest amount of vitamin K2, which is essential to have strong bones. We used to get K2 in fermented foods. We don't eat a lot of fermented foods any longer. And so I do also advocate taking a supplement of vitamin K2. Now, that is different than vitamin K, And it's also not the K2 that's the artificial marijuana.
No, that is not what we're
so that's
to.
Not what we're talking about.
It'll actually say on the supplement bottle of vitamin K2 that it's made from natto, which is the fermented soybeans.
So but it doesn't have a rotted taste.
No, but so you want to look at that. Well, I think we've... Have we exhausted the soy? I think we've
have
talked
we rode
about...
Have that horse long
yeah,
enough?
Yeah, you know, bottom line is eat your soy. I mean, we eat soy and do not worry about it. Again, is it like...
A staple,
the forefront of right. every meal we no. have? No, it's like any no. other whole food. We consume it in...
We don't
variety of foods. We just don't. We don't go out of our way to get it,
sure.
and we don't go out of our way to avoid it.
Yes,
it's just
right. we don't make a conscious effort to. Oh, I have to have my soy today.
No,
right.
No,
right.
My conscious effort is oh, I have to have food.
Yes.
Sure.
So that's another one of the F's of nutrition. Focus on the food.
Well, and. Again, and this is another subject I think we've talked about probably ad nauseum, but I'm going to bring it up again.
Uh-oh. You just have to be that way.
I know. Uh-oh. I know. But it just gets out there, and it gets promoted, and it's so frustrating, and that's coconut oil. So we had this whole thing that came out
but
that people...
Wait, coconut oil is okay, though, right?
No.
It's not?
It is
no.
if you put it on your skin.
Okay. All right.
It's healthy for your skin and your hair.
Okay.
All if right. you use it externally.
Okay.
But I think finally I felt like something had come out that said coconut oil, you know, was really told about the ill effects of coconut oil right. and the saturated fat. And people that I knew that were using it were actually stopping to use so much of it.
I think it was called the American Heart Association.
And it was great. And now there's this lady who is, I think she's a nutritionist or a no, she's a journalist. She's not a physician.
Yes.
Well, she's an expert.
Yes.
No, she is she's a voice for the meat
but
lobby.
But she is...
No question about
she
that.
She has a strong presence, and now it's getting circulated around everyone about why she's now discounting that information and trying to tell everyone again that coconut oil is good for you.
Yeah.
And so
she's a shrill for the meat lobby, and I don't say that.
But how do
lightly.
People find? That's what
it's
I just.
Well, I need to remind you all and the million people that are listening at home.
The million.
What the great philosopher John Mayer says:
wow. If they own,
when they own the information, they can bend it all they want.
But how do people, the general public, find out the bias behind someone? In their information. So if someone were to read this lady's article, how do they know to decipher that?
Well, she also lists, I mean, she has references that are published papers that support her position.
And if you click on those references, how do you know those
are... No, but if she's a journalist, she may not.
She does.
Oh, okay.
And in the article, she listed some references.
Okay.
And... the references were the papers that were used for Time to say butter is back, like in, was it 2015?
Mm-hmm.
But this researcher that publishes these papers has been significantly discredited, and he also is somebody that's paid by the meat lobby.
See, I just don't understand why you don't have to disclose all of that information.
Well,
up front.
You're supposed to. I mean, he published in... I want to say it was the New England Journal. It may have been JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. And when I read the study, my immediate... Now, I'm not somebody that can look at the research and say, well, that research is
flawed
just based on the parameters of the research. But I read that paper and I went, this guy's nuts. And then McDougall wrote a rebuttal to the paper that was published and actually wrote a letter to the editor of the journal that it was published in and how that this journal had cherry-picked studies in that, I mean, this article had cherry-picked studies and discredited everything about the article.
So but McDougall that he refers to is Dr. John McDougall, who is another physician that advocates whole food plant-based eating.
And
that
John is able to... go into the study. He knows enough about how these studies are designed.
Mm-hmm. To get the result they want.
Right. Or you know, he goes in, he knows the background behind the papers. It's not just the paper, but, you know, when I first started in medicine, we had a journal club with a doctor who is basically known as the expert in everything. And this guy is one of the smartest people I ever met. And we really did call him EIE. But he had a photographic memory, and he could tell you, well, that was written in such and such journal on page such and such through such and such, and this guy's a liar. Don't believe anything you ever read from him. So while it may be published, and I hate to say this, but just because something's published in peer-reviewed literature does not mean it is a good study.
Well, and that brings up this case that I don't know if you had seen or heard about this. It came out on 60 Minutes. This Dr. Anil Potti, P-O-T-T-I, from Duke University, said that he had a breakthrough on chemotherapy that would match your genetic makeup with the exact chemotherapy. And he had people from all over the world touting him as the world leader in chemotherapy and cancer research. And it came out that
he made up all his research?
He made it all up. It was all a fake.
Oh, no.
He was fired, and people had died, and they'd put millions of dollars into this, and it was just...
I mean, that just... I guess it just goes to show you how easily it is to get that stuff out there and for people to buy into it.
And, you know, none of us, even me, we don't want to face this reality that I think people have this moral or ethical tipping point. That, you know, someone comes to you and says, we want you to do research on something, okay? Well, we want you to research this, you know, this shoulder appliance. And you go, well, it's no good. Well, okay, we're going to pay you $100,000. Yeah, it's still no good. Okay, now we're going to pay you $1 million. It just got better. You know?
That's right.
At some point, reach this tipping point where you go, you know what? It looks a lot better now. And I think some of these...
That's why they've determined that if whoever funds the study, it's 10 times more likely to come out in favor of the funding source.
Right.
And the other thing that pharmaceutical companies do is they'll run 20 studies, and if they don't like the results on 15 of them, they just throw them away.
Sure.
And that's
sure,
the thing is, you don't hear the adverse results they got from the 15. You just hear the good results they got from maybe one or two.
And it's gotten to the point now that when you hear these, you know, may cause, I'm thinking, did those actually come up with some of these test subjects, or are they just throwing them out to cover themselves? May cause blindness and impotency. And
no, most to be reported like that, the FDA requires certain parameters, and those are the side effects that came out in the studies that the drug company gave the FDA.
So when it says even death, that means someone died taking those drugs?
Yes.
You know, it would, and I would hate to say this, but, you know, but it would almost be a really neat study to get some patients that had a certain disease or illness or something, maybe that weren't dying, but you said, okay, so there's a really high risk that this is going to cause blindness or it's going to cause paralysis, and see how many people would just say, okay, I'll still take it.
I know.
You know, like... Okay, yeah, I'll
take it. Yeah, I'll sign up for death.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know. But I think, though, that happens every day, Randy, because if you look at all the drugs that get advertised on TV, you know, they tell you all this great things and have, you know, these people on there, these actors telling you, oh, you know, I have RA and my pain went away, or I had this or that.
Or even you say Phil Mickelson, who's the spokesman.
Yeah, spokespeople, and they say all this, and then at the very end they quietly, oh, but may cause blah, 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 and they go on, you know, for 10 seconds about all the things that could happen. But I guarantee you there's still those people that are going into their doctor's office and say, I want to try that. Phil Mickelson said made
absolutely.
Him feel better.
And, you know, I think,
and it doesn't matter that it's said all that at the, they disclosed all that at the end.
Not only did they pay Phil Mickelson a lot of money, they probably paid his physician a lot of money.
Probably, to know? Be both be on board.
Are you saying doctors are bought?
Well, I think they're rented, is what I think. yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things. When I first started in medicine, one of the old guys told me, said, if you don't understand what's going on in medicine, it's either money or sex or both. And I'm amazed at how right he was.
And
I hate to
changed.
Say that. Money buys, sex corrupts.
Well, there's not very many unattractive drug reps.
You're right.
There's just not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and they're in there selling the drugs to.
And the doctors, most of the doctors, learn about the drugs from the drug rep.
Right.
That's who right. educates.
So this is going to cure their headaches, and it's going to make them lose some weight, and they're going to be happier. Okay.
And they always have published studies to support what they're
sure.
telling you.
Sure.
So this brand of anti-inflammatory, you know, it causes this reaction, and they lay this study in front of me, and my comment is, I don't take anything that you give me.
Right.
I don't take any study. I'm not going to believe anything you hand me, because it's been my experience. They're not going to hand me something that doesn't
support
it. Said
your liver quit working.
Right.
I mean, yeah, on 50 of the 75 people, the liver quit working, but on the other 25, their shoulder pain went away.
But the biggest lobby in D.C. is the pharmacy lobby.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, people would much rather take a pill than even think about maybe it's the food they're eating that causes all these high blood pressure, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis.
You know, and people, and unfortunately, I think doctors are scared that if they tout this, that I guess they'll lose business or something. And
well, they will.
But think about how many people we touch every day that we do talk to that have no desire about anything we're saying, because they, by God, they're going to go to their grave eating that.
And
a
16-ounce
steak.
I'm the idiot that said that, too, though.
I know, but
first time I ever heard this, I said I would never, ever eat that way. I'd rather die than not eat a steak.
But something in you flipped, but there's still those people that, you know, hear your story and hear it, and still, I mean, your dad was a prime example of someone that saw you get better, saw everything about, heard what you talked about, and
I think they get to a point where it's too late for me.
Right. And yeah. that he was there.
Yeah.
Plus, it was too much effort to make a change.
Right.
You know, because he liked to go down to McDonald's and sit there with the Liars Club
sure.
and
sure.
have their coffee and
sure.
eat their whatever they ate.
Sure.
And so it got to be, you know, he was in his 80s.
Right.
But, so. But there are also people like the lady we ran into on the ship that was 87 years old.
Who changed her ways. I know. Well, we're running out of time. Hopefully we've covered lots of things to give you some pause for thought today. And if you are interested in what we've talked about, I recommend that you go to our website, plantbasedokc.com. And we have a couple of events that we do. So like I mentioned earlier, the free seminar we hold at Community Hospital. Next date is in September. That'll be on the website, and there'll be a link to email me for a reservation. We also hold a support group of sort type meeting at Rococo Restaurant in North Park Mall on the first Monday of every month. So the next one will be August 7th. Those are at 6:00 p.m. We're there to talk like we did today, answer questions. I talk a lot about food preparation and recipes and different things. And Rococo provides us a plant-based menu. You can come eat with us or not. It's up to you. But I think it's good fellowship, and we're trying to create a community of people that support each other in eating this way. And that's a very good opportunity to come meet other people. So we're also on Facebook, Plant-Based OKC on Facebook, and on Instagram, Plant-Based OKC. So we post pictures of recipe and food ideas and all kinds of stuff on there. So we'd love to have you follow us there as well. And if we have any special events, we will post them on those sites as well. And then, as always, we're here on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And if you want to share this information with someone, the audio of this tape today will be on our website, again, plantbasedokc.com. Yeah, plantbasedokc.com. And we'll we have multiple past episodes on there, and in a couple of days, this episode will be on there as well, so you can share
this
that with
friends.
This
is an award winner. This episode right here
absolutely
was an award winner.
You'll probably see us on 60 Minutes.
We were all on our game today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because we stretched out beforehand.
So.
Yeah.
If you can only see Randy.
This is one crazy bunch of people right here. But we are passionate about what we do. We just like to have a little fun in the meantime. But
this isn't rocket science.
No, it's more important than that.
It's plant science.
That's right.
Kathy, if you're listening, we just want to say to live life on purpose and with purpose. Thank you.
Amen.